All right, today we have a special guest from the Christian Jew Foundation, Larry Dubin. He's been a longtime friend of the church family and especially the Breadvicks. So he's going to talk to us today about fall feast, Jewish things, but both in adult Bible study and the message. So why don't we pray and I'll let him get started. Lord, we praise you for today. We thank you for the work you are doing through men and women like Larry and Deb around the world. And bless us now as he brings us important news about what's going on in the Jewish world and the Jewish feasts. We thank you that we can be your children through Yeshua the Messiah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Larry, amen. Coming up here.
Thanks, Pastor.
Good. I can't move.
You look great. Well, good morning. My name is, as you can tell from the slide, I'm Larry Dubin. All right. And I'm with the Christian Jew Foundation. And at the service, I will be talking about this holiday called Yom Kippur. And it's an extremely important holiday in Scripture. And in the Jewish world, it starts tonight at sundown. But before then, today I'm going to talk about everybody's favorite topic, suffering. Suffering, all right? You know, and I'm going to ask you just to take a few notes. And as I talk about suffering, all of us have suffering in our lives at some level, whether it's relational, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual. We all know pain. We all know brokenness. And I want to give you just a couple of thoughts that I have learned over the last few years from the suffering that I have been dealing with. All right? All right. Now, let me give you the ground rules. The ground rules are pretty simple. All right? I'm going to share some thoughts with you. I would encourage you to take some notes. If you have any easy questions, I invite you to call me up, shoot me an email, all right? Love to talk to you. If you have any hard questions, remember, I'm the guest. I'm not your pastor, okay? And all hard questions will be entertained by Pastor Dieter. All right? So just remember the ground rules, and with that, we're going to be okay. You know, it's really interesting. In Scripture, in the Jewish world, numbers are really, really important. You know, if you want to go deep into Scripture to really understand things. And during the Passover celebration, for example, there are four cups. There's the cup of sanctification. There's the cup of plagues. There's the cup of redemption. And then there's the cup of joy. All right? There are four Gospels. From the Adam and Eve story, all right, we all know about Eve. She is mentioned four times in Scripture, all right? But what this study this morning, this is not about, okay, the number four throughout Scripture. But if you want to really go deep into the Word of God, look at how many times we see four from Genesis to Revelation. It's really incredible. What I want to talk to you about at the moment is four teachers that I've been dealing with over the last 4 years, all right? One teacher and is called, let's see if I could do this, is called job loss, all right? Another teacher is called cancer. And you see it overflows. The next one is called pneumonia. And then the fourth teacher was called identity theft. All right? And I will tell you, as you saw the water, as it's overflowing out of those cups, I will tell you, those four teachers, or those four challenges have been absolutely incredible in my life. And I am so thankful that I have, that I experienced them, because what they did, they brought me deeper into the Word of God. They brought me deeper into my relationship with Jesus. They brought me deeper into my relationship with my wife. All right. So those four teachers, job loss, cancer, pneumonia, and identity theft. All right. Let me tell you a little bit about the first one. I was working with Jews for Jesus for 21 years. In 2019, they had some financial issues, and they had to close 3 offices, and they let 17 people go. My wife and I, we just happened to be 2 of the people that they let go. We had no plan B. We weren't thinking about ever leaving. We were going to stay there for life, all right? But it was necessary for us to go. That was the first one. And that transition was really, really difficult. But I have learned so much about Jesus in the midst of that. The second issue I have, if I could do this. All right, there's me last year, last September, all right? I'm in the hospital. I had a pneumonia in both lungs, all right? When I left the hospital in September last year, I had to cancel my schedule here, come to this church, because I wasn't able to really walk and talk, okay, at sea level, okay? I could walk about 200 feet with a walker, all right? It was really, really bad. Here's another picture from last year. There's me. I don't know if you know who I'm connected to at that moment, but I am connected to Greta, all right? And Greta there is holding up my my cancer drugs that were being pumped into my system. Brother, you should know better. That's Navy. No, that's strictly Navy, okay? And for those of you who are in the Air Force or the Army or the Marine Corps, I'm sorry. But thank you nevertheless. But there I am. I'm attached to Greta, okay? And why did I call her Greta? Well, she was made in Germany. She has 4 Hot Wheels, okay? She had a spine of steel. And I spent many, many months dancing with Greta, all right? The medication that was being pumped into my body at that point in time, that was a $60,000 experience, all right? And so since February 2022, I've had over $1.5 million worth of medical care and drugs, all right? Today, my cancer is in remission, and as you could tell, I have a few words, absolutely. Praise Jesus, all right? So it's been an incredible journey, but here I am. Okay, and then on the fourth cup was dealing with identity theft. All right, one day I found out that a trucking company has been established in the state of Michigan. It's called Lawrence Dubin Trucking. All right, they use my social security number. They use my identity, and they have their business up and running. The same people, I suspect, were able to get into my savings and checking account as well. But in the midst of these incredible trials, all right, whether it was the job loss, whether it was the cancer, whether it was the pneumonia, or whether it was the identity theft, okay, I see God working in the midst of it, all right? So, during that season, I dug deep into the Word of God, all right? And I will tell you, I am better off today because of it, all right? So, And remember, I don't have a pastor's heart, even though I do some pastoral work, okay? If you're suffering, I'm going to try to be empathetic. But I might say, well, wow, what lesson are you learning with your suffering, instead of just putting my arm around you like a pastor might do, all right? Amen. One thing I would say, ma'am, don't ever be quiet. You have a great message. You have learned some great lessons. Don't ever be quiet. Because what you have learned, younger people need to hear. Okay? So, the job loss. When I lost my job, I jumped into Exodus chapters 12, 13, 14, and 15. All right. And in Exodus 12, 13, 14, and 15, you may remember that is dealing when Israel was slaves in Egypt, and God delivered Israel through the Red Sea. All right, Exodus chapter 14. And what's really interesting in Exodus chapter 14, there's all kinds of principles in that chapter talking about transitions. Because when you go from one point where they were in Egypt, they had to go through the Red Sea to get to the promised land. Transitions are always scary. It doesn't matter because you never know what's on the other end. And one thing that I found out as I spent a year in Exodus chapter 14 specifically, there were some amazing lessons that I needed to learn. So that was the first place I went. When cancer became my friend, all right, I jumped into Paul's letter to the Philippians. Now, why Paul's letter to the Philippians, all right? Well, first, just a couple of thoughts. Paul's letter to the Philippians is a prison epistle. So you know what that means. So when Paul wrote that letter, he was incarcerated. Now, I can't even imagine what a Roman prison in the first century was like. I'm sure there was no appropriate plumbing in his cell. I'm sure there was no soft place to lay his head. I'm sure there was no place to wash his hands from time to time. I'm sure there was no fresh air being pumped in to that space. And I can't even imagine what the food was like. And I can't even imagine. You know, he probably took care of his bodily functions, and then his food came. You know, if he had any food. So you can just imagine those horrific conditions that Paul was living through at that point in time. And remember, Paul, he's an apostle. Paul wrote 48% of the New Testament. Paul had conversations with Jesus that you and I have not had, right? He was an incredible guy. And where was Paul? Because he was a believer in Jesus, he's incarcerated, and he was suffering greatly, I have no doubt. But what he wrote to the Philippians was great back then, and it's incredible instruction for us today. And I spent another good year in Paul's letter to the Philippians, so we're not going to be able to cover it. You know, Pastor Dieter, he didn't give me an unlimited amount of time. So I'm just going to give you a few nuggets, and I want to encourage you, go back. This is great stuff. If you would, jump to Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, all right, is broken up into two parts, all right? Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, part A. This is what it says. Paul says, "For to me, to live is Christ." So Paul says, to live is Christ. What does that mean? If you look in verse 22, it says what? He says, "But if I am able to live on in the flesh, this will mean a fruitful labor for me." All right? So Paul says, if I live, I'm going to have the opportunity to do fruitful work for the Messiah. All right? And even when Paul was incarcerated, even when he was in prison, all right, you know, we read in the book of Acts how people would come and talk to him, you know. So he not only did he have the Roman guards as an audience, but he had his fellow believers would be coming and serving him at that point in time. So so a number of people, all right, they were hearing the gospel. They were hearing the biblical story. So Paul says, if I live, I get to do fruitful work. He gets to continue to build the kingdom, all right? I want you to remember that first letter, L, okay? L, remember L. Now, if you would, jump to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says, if I can see this, he says, that I may know him and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So Paul says in Philippians 3:10, he says, I'm going to grow in my relationship. I'm going to grow in my fellowship with Jesus because of the sufferings. All right? Now, I don't want anybody to suffer, by no means. But Paul is trying to teach us, if we have to suffer, if we're called to suffer, all right, there's an opportunity there for us to grow in our relationship with Jesus. I want you to remember that second letter. Remember the letter S, all right? So we had L from chapter 1, verse 21. We have the letter S from chapter 3, verse 10. Now, if you would, jump back to chapter 1, verse 21, and notice the second part of that verse. Paul says, and to die is gain. All right? To die is gain. So Paul was telling us that death is a promotion. All right? Death is the place we all long to be. We will be with our Messiah. We will be a place where there will be no more sin to deal with. There will be no more foolish people to deal with. All right? There will be no more pain. You know, death is a promotion. And Paul was trying to say, hey, if I live, I get to talk to people. If I suffer, I get to grow my fellowship with Jesus. And then he says again, second part of chapter 1, verse 21, part B, he says, if I die, he says, I get to experience what this is all about, being with the Messiah forever and ever and ever and ever, okay? So remember that third letter is D. So we have L, we have S, and then we have D. That may not be very significant to you, okay? That may mean nothing to you, but let me tell you what that means to me. My initials are LSD, all right? Lawrence Sheldon Dubin. Those are my initials, all right? And I absolutely believed that God the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart in the midst of this cancer diagnosis, of this treatment, of this pneumonia, and on and on and on. And the Lord was saying, you know what? Live, suffer, die, Larry. I got you. All right? No matter what happens, guess what? There's no loss. There's no loss. Now you might say, check this out. Jump to Philippians chapter 4. And if you're like most people, most Americans, most people in the West, all right? What do we do not respond well to? What? Criticism. That's great, but that's not what I was thinking. Okay. Ma'am. Waiting. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, one of my, I don't want to go there, don't want to talk about my spiritual gifts that I'm trying to learn, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, still learn on patience. What we Americans, I think, are really no good at is we don't want to be told what to do, okay? We don't want to be told what to do. We want to do what we want, when we want it, and that's it, you know? And I think I might be willing to say people who live up in the wilderness, like you guys, you might even be more independent than most people, all right? But check this out. In Philippians 4, verse 4, there's one word, it's an imperative, so it's a command, all right? And the Apostle Paul, he's saying, hey, you need to do this, all right? He's not making a suggestion, all right? He's not making a recommendation. It's an imperative. It's a command, and he repeats it twice, all right? And so if I was in school today and I want to remember a certain word, I might underline it, or I might highlight it, or I might, you know, print it in bold or use red ink or something like that. In Greek, that was not an option back in this time. But you notice he uses the word rejoice, and he uses that word twice. All right, and he says, Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. All right. So the Apostle Paul, he was instructing people to rejoice. Now, Paul cannot instruct people to rejoice if he wasn't doing that himself. Okay, I don't think Paul was a hypocrite. I don't think Paul was telling people to do one thing that he was not doing. All right. And so we see, you know, Paul, I have no doubt, he was rejoicing. I'm sure he was confident. I'm sure he had God's peace in his heart, and he knew exactly what he needed to do. But the question is, Paul, how can you tell us to rejoice? How could you rejoice? And how can you tell us to rejoice? Don't you know this suffering is horrible? Don't you know this brokenness? Don't you know what I'm dealing with? And Paul said, yeah, I had that answer too. Jump to Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, look at what is written. It says, and this is where my eyes are going bad too. Oh my gosh. It says, I'm almost there. Here we go. Verse 7. I'll start there. It says, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man. Here we go. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. All right? Paul says that he was able to rejoice, and he instructed the believers to rejoice. Why? Because Jesus went to the cross. Jesus surrendered his life, all right? And Jesus gives us his holiness, his righteousness. He's the one who bears the price of our sin, all right? Why was Paul able to rejoice in that very difficult situation? Because he knew that Jesus had died for him. And he knew that his name was recorded in the book of life. And he knew that he was going to leave earth at some point, and he was going to go from earth into Jesus' presence in the blinking of an eye. Probably faster than that. All right? So, what is the lesson for them back in that day? What is the lesson for us today? The lesson is, you know, if we live, we have the privilege and the opportunity to build God's kingdom. Like this lady said, as this lady said, all right, you know, she learned a lot from some of the suffering that she had to deal with in life. Ma'am. Amen. Amen. All right. The lessons that this lady knows from the suffering that was a part of, that's been a part of her life. And so again, I know all of you have pain. I know that. It's part of life. All right. But if you live, Paul says, as he did, you get to do productive work. All right. You get to talk to people younger than yourself, your age, maybe older, but you get to speak to people words of hope and peace in the storms that we all deal with, all right? Maybe a different flavor, but we all have them, all right? On the other side, if God calls you to suffer, right? And I don't want anybody to suffer, as I said. But if you are called to suffer, you know, can you imagine if, you know, you're in the middle, you're in the hospital, and you're suffering, and it's just one of those bad days, and someone comes in, and you're angry, and you're bitter. And, you know, you say something about, hey, well, I'm a believer in Jesus, but you're angry, and you're bitter. Do you think that person is going to want that cup to drink? You know, how can you be a believer in Jesus and be angry? How can you be a believer in Jesus and be and to be upset and bitter and on and on and on, right? Paul said in his sufferings, he was able to grow closer to Jesus. So may that suffering be a lesson for all of us. And then remember, when you die, and I'm going to tell you something, I hope this isn't new information for you, okay? You're going to die, okay? But when you pass, you will go from this presence into God's presence. And guess what? You will never suffer. You will never be broken. You will never deal with pain again. All right? You will be in heaven. And that's a promotion. Okay? And because Jesus died for us, because our names are in his book of life, we can rejoice always. And that's, you know, so may we be about the business of rejoicing. So when people see us, you know, and, you know, I will tell you, I'm a work in progress. You know, it's every day, you know, especially when I'm cold, you know. I live in Florida, okay, and I'm freezing. It's like, let me inside, you know, don't keep me outside. I'm freezing, you know. I think Don experienced that earlier today. Where's Don? Is he here? Yeah, and I wasn't very nice to Don when I first came in. You know, he's just trying to protect, you know, the body. He could vouch for it. But I was like, oh my gosh, open the door, let me in. You know, and he's like, saying, who are you? You know, but, you know, We are all dealing with that every day, you know, and we want people to see the hope and the peace that we have. All right. And when we do, guess what? Maybe we can make them jealous. And I will tell you right now, as I'm serving in South Florida, this cancer, it has been an incredible launching pad for my new ministry, because I go places and I talk to people, and what I discover, everybody is suffering. And what I discover, I now have some credibility to say, hey, look, I know pain. You know, I know what it's like to be diagnosed with cancer, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, it's a death sentence. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to lose a job. You know, it's like being blindsided by that. You know, I know what it's like to be broken and not able to walk 200 feet because of this pneumonia. I have a little bit of credibility at this point in time. You have some credibility. Don't be silent. Sir. You know, what I think the Lord does, you know, he gives us a trial. We pass that test. He gives us another trial. We pass that test. He gives us another trial. All right. I think God continues to refine us and to make us more like Jesus. And those trials, they don't stop. They only stop when the master takes us home into his presence. But until that happens, he keeps working on us because he wants us to be more like Messiah. And sometimes I say to myself, Lord, couldn't you talk to somebody else? All right? And the Lord said, you know what? You're the man. You're the one I'm trying to work on. And so, you know, they never stop. They're all important. And it doesn't matter, okay? You know, you might have an ingrown toenail, okay? When it comes to pain, pain is subjective. It is not right to compare my pain and your pain. It's not right to say, well, you know, your pain isn't as bad as my pain. We should never compare our pain to somebody else. It's always subjective, all right? Pain is pain. And everybody responds to it differently. But I think the Apostle Paul, he is teaching us in the midst of pain, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of that brokenness. You know, we have an eternal hope, and we're not walking this earth by ourselves. We have the Holy Spirit who is with us. And if we can't rejoice over what we have received, then may I suggest, talk to your pastor. Because, you know, pastors are supposed to meddle, okay? Not people like me, okay? So. You know, well, the first question, evil, okay? Evil has been dealt with at the cross, all right? And 3 days after dying, you know the story, Jesus was resurrected. So the day is coming, and I don't know when, but the day is coming when evil will go to hell, all right? And evil will never impact us again, all right? And until that happens, you know, the Lord calls us just to trust him. You know, when I look at the job loss, when I look at my cancer, when I look at the pneumonia, when I look at the identity theft, guess what? I can look at it as though God was punishing me. I can look at it as though, you know, this is a bad thing happening to a good person, all right? At least I think I'm good, all right? Other people may think differently, you know, but God, I think in God's eyes, I think he was trying to teach me some things. And he is still trying to teach me some things. So, you know, it's a question of perspective. Was the cancer really a bad thing? Was losing my job with Jews for Jesus really a bad thing? Was the pneumonia really a bad thing? Was the identity theft, was that really a bad thing? I'm looking at it today, and they were not bad things. So it's a question of perspective. You know, it's a question of perspective. Because Jesus died for me, you know, I pray that God will keep those crazy people on the highway away from me, okay? But reality, there is no bad thing in my life. Because, you know, perspective. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know my master. I know that my sin has been atoned for. What problem do I have? All right? My life is better. My marriage is better. My ministry is better. Everything in my life is better today than it was 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, a year ago. Everything is better. And I'm just, it's just amazing. You know? So I just want to tell you, may you live well. Talk to people about Jesus. May you suffer well. May you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And may you die well. Sir. Amen. And you know, so if you're not suffering, okay, I hope you're just as desperate for Jesus, okay? If you are suffering, I hope that you're desperate for him. And our brother's right. We need Jesus every moment of our lives. We can't breathe. We can't function without him. And imagine, you know, our God is so good. Okay? You know, when you call upon him, all right, whether you're, it's a great day or whether it's a horrible day, when you call upon your Lord, what do you think he's going to say? I'm not answering the phone call. Do you think you're going to get an answering machine? You know what? He shows up. He shows up and he accomplishes his plan in your life. He loves you dearly. He cares about you dearly. And there is nothing in your life that he doesn't use for his honor and for his glory. So don't ever surrender. Don't ever quit. Don't ever be quiet. You have a message to share. Let me pray with you. Lord God, I just come before you, Father, and I want to just say thank you, Master, for this beautiful day. It's a great day to be alive, Lord. And I am so thankful, Jesus, that you are alive and you are well. I am thankful that you are on the Father's throne. And your plan, the Father's plan, is still being accomplished this day. Father, I want to say thank you for these people who have come to church. Thank you, Lord, for them being diligent and for them wanting to draw closer to you. And Father, I pray that you will use all the circumstances of their lives and what they're dealing with today use it for your story in their lives. Use it, Father, for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I pray, whether they are healthy or whether they are battling some illness, I pray, Father, that you will use those situations to help them become the people that you want them to be. And as the unbelievers are looking in, I pray, Father, that they will have the insight to share the hope and the peace that they have received. And that's because of what Jesus did for them. So, Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. And all of God's children said, Amen.